Today I want to talk about a common idea that when we overlook it, we run into a lot more difficulties than if we had taken it into consideration in the first place. And that is the idea of cause and effect. If there's a cause, there will be an effect. And if you're noticing an effect, that's because there is a cause that caused it. These things don't occur without the other one. So when we consider that a person who doesn't make the connections between cause and effect, and we come across that person, or if we are that person, we can really say that that's a form of stupidity. Stupidity really is the inability to make the connection between cause and effect. So when we experience an effect, we're like, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how it occurred. I don't know what the cause was. And when we see that, we recognize that that person has an inability to learn, because if they can't see cause and effect, they can't choose more effectively the cause that they want in order to produce the effect that they want. If we turned around and watched a farmer who said, I want a really, really big crop of corn, but then he planted tomatoes or he planted weeds or wheat, we would go, wow, that guy's missing something. He is not noticing where the particular crop is coming from. He doesn't realize where the effect is coming from, and consequently he's not able to manage his cause very effectively. If a person puts his hand on a hot stove and gets burned, normally a person would go, oh, I realize that. I realize that pain, the effect of that action, was caused by me putting my hand on a hot stove. We're going to pretty quickly learn not to do that. A lot of times in self-improvement circles you hear it takes 30 days to ingrain a habit. You know what? The habit of not putting your hand on a hot stove is not going to take 30 days. It's not even going to take 30 seconds. You're going to learn it really quickly. And so you go, yep, why? How did I learn that so quickly? Because the association of cause and effect for a normal person was so crystal clear. There was no doubt in their minds as to what just occurred. If, on the other hand, pun intended, he doesn't make the connection that indicates that putting his hand on a hot stove is what caused the pain, he's going to end up confused. And he's going to be unable to learn how to avoid the pain in the future. I don't know, is it because I was wearing this shirt or these shoes or the music I was listening to or the other person in the kitchen or, you know, because God is punishing me or because I said a bad word or whatever. And you can imagine if you can start to entertain those kind of possibilities for causes, you can really get confused very quickly. Ignoring the cause and focusing on the effect is pretty much a standard practice. That's how we do it as human beings, a lot of cases. Why? Because the effect is so obvious. Well, I can see it. You know, the hand is on fire. Yep, I can see that. And so we do that in a lot of areas of our lives. And the ones that I'm probably touching upon today are going to be in the areas of health or medicine or politics or religion. We look at the effects and we stop our inquiry. One way, and the cynical view of this, is that a common way of distorting the cause and effect relationship is to make up false causes. People do that all the time. Johnny took the cookie. He caused that cookie to disappear from the cookie jar. You know, little kids do that. Big kids do that. Politicians do that. Let me shift the blame, the cause, the responsibility for this action to someone or something else. If you were to walk into the doctor and say, Doctor, I'm depressed, that guy may immediately write out a prescription for an antidepressant. Sometimes I guess they ask a few questions, okay, now let me write that prescription. You might say that medical doctors don't deal with causes, they only deal with the effects. Depression is an effect, as far as I'm concerned, but it's not necessarily seen that way by other people. Medical doctors treat effects. If the person who got burned on his hand on a hot stove ran into the urgent care center or ran into the emergency room and like, guess what? He wants somebody to treat that effect, the painful hand. On the other hand, I have to stop having pun. If he decided that the doctor decided to lecture the patient on avoiding hot stoves, using gloves while working in the kitchen, taking his time, going to culinary school for more training, we would go, whoa, doctor, you're either crazy or completely uncaring or both. Please treat the hand and the pain. So treating the effect is a good idea when the effects are acute. If your hand's on fire, it's a good thing to treat that. You want to stop the pain, stop the fire, make it be more manageable for that person. Somebody in agony is not going to be a great student. You know, well, before I fix your hand, I'm going to lecture you on stoves and kitchen etiquette and safety features. That person in agony is not going to absorb that information. That is going to be bouncing off them. They're not going to be able to hear it. Not a good idea. Treat the issue in that case. Treat the effect. In some cases, the relationship between cause and effect is inescapable. Man hits thumb with hammer. The effect is pain. Fingers and hands are taking a beating today, right? Usually I talk about the sore big toe, and the reason I do that is because I don't want to start or feed a consciousness form about some part of your body that, I'm worried about that, I'm worried about that. So I don't talk about lungs and livers and brains and other things that are significant to us, even though fingers and toes are very significant. I don't want to add negativity to anything that you already got going on, or make you susceptible to the planting of a negative consciousness form. Those things affect listeners and don't serve you. To repeat, sometimes the cause of an effect is so obvious that we can't miss it. But in other cases, it's not so simple. And the cause may not be seen because, number one, it could be covered up deliberately for economic or political reasons. It's pretty easy to interpret an effect and end up believing it is a cause. Cause of death, complications from his disease. If our inquiry into cause and effect were to end there, that, and it usually does, because we can't really penetrate that white line. If I were talking about police investigation, it would be a blue line, right? You can't penetrate that shield, if you will. And if we accepted that complication from his disease is the cause of death, we're not going to learn much, if anything. Cause of burnt hand, complications of being in the kitchen. That's not too helpful. Our awareness won't increase very much with that type of thinking. And if we end right there, we're not going to grow very much. In America, cause and effect can be very complicated. In certain famous events, for instance, and in the way that things are happening today. Effect. President John F. Kennedy is assassinated. Cause. What is the cause? Answer number one. A single crazy guy named Lee Harvey Oswald shot him from the grassy knoll and killed JFK. Cause number two, this is the answer. Foreign agents killed him and set up Lee Harvey Oswald to take the fall. Answer three, people inside the U.S. government actually conspired and had him killed. And there's, unfortunately, a huge amount of information that supports that as the level of cause on a physical level here. Answer four, the mafia had him killed. And the list goes on and on. One of the things about cause and effect that I think is very cool is you can go deeper and deeper and deeper by continuing to see what the cause, what the effect, what the effect, cause, cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect, until you really get somewhere. And so you can go deeper by considering that there are levels of cause and effect. Now you could say, in terms of this hot stove and that burned hand, that's it, end of story, no other information is necessary. We know that, we're going to treat the burned hand, and end of story. The trouble is, that doesn't serve us for the next time. It's like, so now what? What does the person who has to go back into the kitchen the second time, what does he do with this cause and effect relationship, the awareness that he's got up to this point? It's a disadvantage to us. So let's go back to that particular scenario. Damaged hands and fingers, effect. Pain in the burned hand, cause. Putting hand on the hot stove. If we continue asking about the cause and effect, though, we might be able to gain more information. We do want to learn more, right? We do want to become more aware. It does take a little bit of effort, and sometimes we have to balance, is it worth the time and effort to know this? Oftentimes the answer is, you bet. So, the effect, putting your hand on the stove. So, wait a minute, I thought you said that was the cause. No. It was in that first iteration. We said that the effect was the burned hand, and the cause was putting the hand on the stove. Now we're saying putting the hand on the stove was an effect. Oh. So what was the cause? And this is really where it becomes more fun and more interesting and more elucidating. We go, I'm starting to see some stuff. The lights are going on. Yeah. Right now, as I think about this concept, cause and effect, that if we accept that there's a physical cause to a physical effect, I think we're choosing to limit our awareness. But if we can look for an emotional cause to a physical effect, we might be smarter. It might be helping us. We might grow our awareness. If we look at a mental cause to an emotional effect, we could be smarter still. And if we look for a spiritual cause to a mental effect, we might become even smarter and even more aware. If you ever heard this cliche, haste makes waste, you've probably proven it to yourself. I have. And maybe we could say that's true in a guy in the kitchen. So haste is physical hurrying, and waste is a physical effect. Being anxious because we're behind our schedule that we've established for doing something could be the emotional cause to the effect that we call haste. I'm anxious, I have to hurry. Okay? And if the mental perception of one or more of our needs, we're trying to be right, trying to look good, trying to get approval, trying to get love, something else, and we think our current state, I'm behind, I'm not dressed, I haven't taken a shower, I'm still trying to cook something, that is threatening of our needs, we're going to have a mental cause to producing the emotional effect of anxiety that leads us to carelessly hurry in the kitchen and hand on hot stove. And finally, if you look, the idea that spiritually we are separated from the source of love, that's a lie. So now we want love from the people who are coming to the house or our friends or whomever is going to benefit from our activity in the kitchen. Or even if we feed ourselves energy, self-approval from that. If we believe we're separated from the source of our love, source of our being, source of our existence, source of everything, That's a spiritual lie that's going to cause us to do a lot of different things. And our minds, believing that, are going to be driving our emotions, are going to be driving our physicality. The truth is, we're never separated from our source of being. No matter what the physical circumstances, no matter what our minds say about the physical circumstances, we can reinterpret physical and emotional and mental circumstances and get to the point where we know the truth, the real cause behind things, and we can choose the one we want. In America, there's a saying that no one ever went broke from overestimating the stupidity of the public. Now, that's a really unkind and demeaning statement. And it's the idea that Americans are gullible, are not willing to understand stuff, don't want to invest the energy to grasp this relationship of cause and effect. So you can basically tell them anything and they'll buy it hook, line, and sinker. Sometimes that's happening. Obviously, there's an idea with advertising, for instance, that you can bombard somebody so often that over time that information is absorbed and almost taken as truth despite its complete falsehood. Back in the day of the communist threat when we were kids, the idea of the big lie, and that was the idea that the communists, of course, they're the ones that lie, not the capitalists. The communists would tell a lie, a big lie, over and over and over and over again. And they say it so many times that after a while, people go, gee, I've heard that before. Because I've heard it so many times, it must be true. The same thing with advertising today in political situations. Take the case of 9/11. In terms of what the public knows or is willing to know or has access to. After 9/11, the Bush administration resisted having a commission to investigate the physical cause of the planes crashing into the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon. Why don't they want us to know the cause of 9/11? Because if we have information, we can develop knowledge. But if we don't have information, we can't develop knowledge. And if we have no knowledge, somebody else can tell us, oh, here's the cause. This is the cause. And the deceit about the physical cause of 9/11 has been seen through and has been rejected by historical facts about the event and the investigation of Iraq and the absence of weapons of mass destruction and now about the explosions and the destructions, thousands and thousands of people and experts and people that were there and survivors and their kin reject the findings of the commission. The cause of 9/11 was not the cause of 9/11. Politics right now in America, let me just back up. I just had this thought. I was talking to a client not too long ago from upstate New York, and so we ended up talking somehow about New York because that's originally where I'm from, but on Long Island, not upstate. And during the course of the conversation, she said, oh, you really made me think. I thought 9/11 was all about religion. I'm like, really? Really? That was, in her mind, was the cause of 9/11. It was religion. Now, I suppose a lot of people believe that. I do not. Okay, back where I was going. Politics right now in America, right? Ooh, you can't. If you turn on TV or you look at a newspaper or you listen to a radio, you cannot escape politics in America. Politics in America require, and well, I don't know that they require, but they definitely do rely on the distortion of causes and effects. And this, everything is about blaming one person for an effect. Here's a case in point. Effect: high unemployment. According to the Republicans, the cause is President Obama. Real cause: not enough jobs. You go, So if not enough jobs is the cause, wait, no. Let's look at it again. Let's go deeper. Effect, not enough jobs. Cause, no government job creation program. Okay. Effect, no government job creation program. Cause, Republicans blocked it. They blocked that act that would have created this governmentally sponsored job program. Effect, Republicans blocked the act that would have created this government-sponsored jobs program. Cause, if Republicans can make Obama look bad enough by destroying the economy under him, they might be able to get elected. Let's don't stop there. Effect. American citizens being sacrificed on the altar of Republican ambitions because they want to destroy the economy to put themselves in a position to be able to blame Obama for the condition of the economy. Cause. Ego-driven greed and ambition are in control. Frankly, you can make the case that they're in control of both political parties and politicians who are more interested in getting reelected, more interested in getting to the trough, more interested in their own self-interest rather than doing the job for the people who voted for them in the first place, which was, I expect you to balance my self-interest with other people's self-interest, and that's not what's happening. We could do this process to look at the amount of U.S. debt, which Republicans blame on Obama, somehow failing to remember that there were two wars started by the Bush administration, perhaps only time in America's history where we literally have gone into foreign countries, two separate foreign countries, and started wars. We could do cause-effect, 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 until we get to a cause that each of us could accept as the spiritual or mental cause of the effects that we're experiencing. Enough about politics for a minute. So let's go back to individual human situations, which is really the day-to-day. This is much more important to us. Illness, financial difficulties, unemployment or underemployment, lack of a loving relationship, that sort of homes being foreclosed, those are the effects that concern far more Americans than the political arguments of the Republicans and the Democrats. You can see that a lot of the issues that are hammered over and over again are not really the ones that are most important to the American public. They may be the most divisive, but they're not really the ones that are most important. We could apply that same process of diving deeper into the conditions, going from effect to cause to effect to cause to effect to cause to effect to cause, until we get to a place that we realize we're deep enough now, we're close enough to the root, where if we make a change in that energy pattern, we're going to be able to make a change in everything else. This, we're close to or at the main cause of this condition. A child would know that the cause of financial problems is not having money. You go, wow, that's simple, that's clear. Yep, that kid would be right. That's it. If I had more money, I wouldn't have financial problems. Yep. And a child might stop right there in their exploration of cause and effect, and thinking that they got to the bottom of the problem. That's it. We just need more money. Well, I think a lot of people, not just children, believe that to be true. That's it. All I need, just give me some money and then we've solved the problem. I don't think so. More mature adults might want to pursue this line of thinking a bit more. Let's go a little deeper. If not having money were an effect, what would the cause be? Maybe they would answer, the cause is not having a job. Okay? And if there was a wiser adult who said, you know what, I want to consider and continue this even more. Let's look deeper. let's look at not having a job as an effect, then what cause might that be? Instead of blaming someone or something, you know, one of the political parties or the other, this wise person may say, the cause could be the failure to exchange value. That's the cause. And let's then look at that same idea as an effect. You know, it's not really the government's main role to create jobs. That's the private sector. That's the role of the individual. The individual who wants to create something of value and make it available to others, that's the person, that's the woman, that's the man who creates jobs for herself, himself, and other people. An impoverished individual will be one who doesn't share their value with others in a system of exchange. I'm going to say that again. An impoverished individual will be one who doesn't share their value with others in a system of exchange. Martyrs give but refuse to receive. Embezzlers take and refuse to give. On a deeper level, both of those groups, martyrs and thieves, are impoverished. We could say that the lack of knowledge causes hardship. That should encourage us to educate our citizens, right? You know, I'm having a hard time. Get more education. Get more knowledge. Get more awareness. Elevate your consciousness. Oh. And then you think maybe I can walk through a doorway without hitting the walls? I think so. You cause much less pain for yourself and for others if you know what you're doing. Education, knowledge, skill. So I can exchange my value out in our economic system. Exactly. And at home. And with friends. Oh, that's cool. We could say that our freedom is being short-circuited over the years. You know, domestic spying, people put in jail, habeas corpus has been thrown out. We don't have to even give a cause or reason to have people in jail for huge amounts of time. And you're like, wow, that should encourage us to become aware of how to balance our responsibility with our freedom. Balance our freedom with our responsibility. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. I saw it online, not on the car. It's like, I want a pro-life president. And if you would look at that and say, pro-life president. And that's looked upon as being George W. Bush. But George W. Bush was the governor of Texas. Texas is the state that puts the most people to death by execution. That's not pro-life. And George Bush and Dick Cheney started two wars that resulted in unbelievable amounts of death, not only for American families, service people, in those two theaters, but also the civilians who have been killed in that. A lot of innocent people. That's killing all those people is not really pro-life. And, you know, the idea that if we reduce care for women and children, reduce educational opportunities for women and children, reduce health care opportunities for women and children, that can't be construed by anybody as being pro-life. A lot of battles going on, and this is one of the things that's elevated, a couple of them, right? The same-sex marriage, as if the average citizen is going to be negatively impacted by same-sex marriage. How does that affect my marriage? Well, it doesn't. It's only about fear and division and hatred that elevates that to be a real, real big cause that people need to focus their attention on. The other one is abortion. Abortion is a physical act, and you could say it's not a good thing. I think everybody across the board would say it's not a good thing. But some people, myself included, would say laws to criminalize this physical act simply creates criminals. It simply creates hardship for women and children and their families. The solution to the problem of abortion is not to pass a law making it harder and driving it underground so it becomes illegal. So now there is some sort of underground economy. Now people are lawbreakers. It's kind of like the drug problem. The drug problem is a law problem. If you want to deal with abortion on an effective level and see it as a cause-effect, you would go, if a man and a woman were aware, then there would be no pregnancy that wasn't desired. They would have been aware enough, conscious enough, educated enough to know how to use birth control or not to participate in sex in the first place. But with lack of awareness, human beings are going to do certain things that human beings do. Sex is something that human beings have been doing for a very long time and are going to be doing for a long time into the future. What's missing is awareness. And so anybody who is against abortion should be very pro-awareness, pro-consciousness, pro-availability of birth control, pro-protecting women, pro-health. If we really want to understand cause and effect, we need to get to that consciousness level, not to be tricked into only looking at the physical level. So if you've got a situation going on in your life that looks like a cause, but if you will go, oh, I'm not going to fall for that. Let me apply this step by step, going deeper and deeper to find out if, in fact, there is another cause and another effect and another cause and another effect until I can get to some deep belief, some spiritual or mental construct that is guiding me in this particular direction. When we accept physical conditions or circumstances as being the end of the story, we're prisoners of conditions that we have created for ourselves or allowed other people to create for ourselves. That is not really the purpose of our lives. It's not the purpose of this conversation about cause and effect. We can choose to be the cause based upon the effect we have chosen and that we desire. One of the things in the truth of existence that is so important and so meaningful to me and very reassuring is the final item listed by Christ that he discerned as being provided to us by divine consciousness. This is when he was in the desert after being baptized by John. He discerned that divine consciousness had established a spiritual law and order, a spiritual system that held true all the time, every time, for its creations. That was the law of cause and effect. We commonly refer to that as the idea that we reap what we sow. And aspect of the same thing, another way of viewing it, is the law of attraction. We're going to attract what we broadcast, we sow. The thing we attract, our harvest, our reaping, is determined by our consciousness, our vibrations. So if we come to the conclusion that we can cause more effectively, and that is the effects are what we desire, like, oh, I want to cause desirable effects. That's the game. That's the funnest game in town. And so what is that? I want to cause health. I want to cause happiness. I want to cause prosperity. I want to cause the flow of love between me and me and me and you. and we can recognize that that is our individual role. It's not a role of a political party. It's not a role of a government. It's not a role of an organization. It is our individual role to sow what we want to reap. And if we help other people and we balance our self-interest with their self-interest, our ability to harvest what we want is so much greater. We're going to love this act of causing, and we're going to love this act of receiving or harvesting the effects. This is where we need to be educated about cause and effect. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 from Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.